This episode of The Morning Stream is brought to you by Squarespace.com. At Squarespace.com, you can make a fantastic professional website, blog, portfolio, online store, and more. Get a free trial today, no credit card required, and if you decide to stay, use the code MORNING at checkout. That'll get you 25% off your account. That's Squarespace.com and the offer code MORNING. Coming up on TMS, a Hearthstone game for the ages.
What do you get for burping loudly at Taco Bell?
How close was this family?
Star Wars 7 starts filming in May.
Disney Pixar sequels are potentially exciting.
Cyrus lost her tour bus, y'all.
Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time.
Your emails and more on this fine episode of The Morning Stream.
Domino's Pizza delivers quality. It takes fresh baked quality to avoid the noid. We keep the noid out and all the quality in. So avoid the noid. Call Domino's Pizza now for hot quality pizza. Domino's Pizza delivers.
I don't hold with furniture that talks.
The Morning Stream.
Better than a strawberry Pop-Tart blowtorch. This is The Morning Stream.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome back to The Morning Stream. It's Wednesday, and that means trouble in Little China. Not really.
It's trouble in the form of Nicole Spag and Tom Merritt.
They're big trouble every time they walk in the room. It's Wednesday, March 19th, 2014. I'm Scott. That's Brian. Hi, Brian.
Oh, hello, Scott. How are you?
I have a sore throat, and it's been that way since about 1 p.m. last night or yesterday afternoon. And it won't go away, but I don't have any other symptoms, and I don't like it. It's bothering me. So I'm doing all you're supposed to do, you know, taking your zinc, gargling with the hoo-ha, right?
Well, it depends on what the hoo-ha is. What hoo-ha exactly are you gargling with?
I got some kind of salt, watery something, something. It's supposed to be good.
That's what you're supposed to gargle with,
So I'm doing that, and all these things are happening, but yet it's still, I can just feel it, and I know it's coming. I just know it. So it looks like I've gone long enough without some sort of illness. I haven't been sick at all during any of the kids' things. Kim's been sick. Carter's had the worst head cold chest thing for like 2 weeks straight. Somehow I've avoided it all. They all had their stomach thing a while back. I didn't get any of that. Like free and clear. Other than the diverticulitis, but that's not a contagious disease.
That's something that exactly.
That's some other thing. But this came at a stupid time because things are about to warm up and get nice and I don't want to deal with it anymore. So, dear sore throat, open letter to sore throat. F off and go away.
If that's all you got, then that's great. I mean, as long as no other symptoms, it could be anything. You ate a jagged piece of chicken or something. Who knows?
My favorite Alanis Morissette album was Jagged Piece of Chicken. Yeah,
yes.
It's really good. anyway, forget about me though. Don't worry about me. We have an important announcement to make, and I'm going to pull up a clip for it here. Hold on, let's see. I don't know which one to do, so we'll just do this one right here.
Happy birthday to you.
That goes out, that anemic, horrible birthday shout out, goes out to our good friend Brian Dunaway, who has a birthday today. How exciting.
Happy birthday to him and his scrote.
That's right. Him and his scrote. See, you say scrote. I'm supposed to have it up.
Sorry. I even put it in the show notes.
I know.
I put the word right there so you'd see it and get that.
I found it.
My scrote.
There you go.
There it is.
Brian Dunaway, we wish you nothing but the happiest of birthdays. And we count ourselves lucky to be your friend and hope you are having a fantastic day and get all the cool things you want. For your birthday. That being a nap and time off work. I'm sure those are the two things he'd like.
Yes. I'm sure actually he's probably working on getting out to Dragon Con, right?
He's got to go there this weekend. He's got like a planning thing or something. Yep. He needs to, here's what needs to happen. Everybody listening, like live right now, or later, it's fine. But go to Twitter, go to The Brian Dunaway on Twitter. Yeah, it's The Brian. He changed it. So it used to be okay. Mission Deep, and he switched
That's what
it.
I thought, yeah.
So The Brian Dunaway on Twitter, and just wish him a happy birthday. It'd make his day. So everybody just collectively go out there and spam the hell out of him on Twitter, please. He'll love it. It's The Brian Dunaway. T-H-E, Brian Dunaway, all one word. No underscores. None of that goofiness. This isn't the Terpster we're talking about. This is Brian effing Dunaway. Okay? Okay. All right, Brian.
Yes.
You know Hearthstone. You played it.
Oh, that's that thing with the cards and the magic and the stuff like, with the lightning.
Yeah,
I remember that. I remember how much I played that when it was in beta.
Well, it's officially been out for a while, and I play it. I play it on and off, but I suck at it, and I have sucked at it since the beginning. But I want to get better, so I made a concerted effort yesterday. I got a bunch of work done and thought, you know what, I'm gonna reward myself with some time in Hearthstone. So I played a couple of matches. Three to be exact, because I needed to win three to get the free mount. I don't know if you know about this, but there's a mount in World of Warcraft you can only get by winning three matches in the now retail version of Hearthstone.
Right. Any match, like, it doesn't have to be arena. It can be any.
It can be anything.
Cool.
Straight up, just casual matches or ranked or whatever. Whatever you want. So I'm on my third match, and I'm a win.
Played World of Warcraft.
Yeah. Remember World of Warcraft? Remember that?
I remember that game.
Yeah. This is kind of based in that world.
In card form.
I know, right? Totally. So I go to do this third match, and this guy, all guns a-blazing, nailing me to the wall from the beginning. I am doing terrible. The score is now, after about 10 minutes, 30 for him. He's got full life points.
Oh, God. Okay.
To 3 for me. So I'm ready. Oh. I'm on the ropes and ready to die. I'm literally resigning myself
circling
to like...
the drain.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I guess I'm going to have to play 4 of these to get my mount, right?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, by the grace of Thrall, dude... I came out of that and won. I beat this guy. And
really?
I wish I would have recorded it. I'm not even sure how I ended up doing it. But basically, he had spent his good, everything he had that was good early. And I came back with just some incredible draws, and I ended up beating this guy. I couldn't freaking
believe
it.
Was it like, how many turns did you turn around in?
Jeez, I want to say it was another 5 turns. And you think that'd be enough for him to chip away at my 3.
You think, yeah. I mean, he must not have been playing one of those classes that can just basically send a fireball to the face kind
of
thing.
No, well, he played something that would have had things like that, but he spent a lot of that stuff early. So that stuff wasn't, either it was still in his deck or he straight up just wasn't, he'd spent them
all. He had no long game.
No, he had no long game. He only had a short game.
Mm-hmm.
This is educational, what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. Hey, was that an important text? What'd you get there? Is that a good one? What'd you get?
I don't know where that came from.
Oh, was that not you?
No, that was me. I've got so many damn electronic devices around me that this one doesn't make any noise because we're doing the show. It's set to do not disturb. This one's turned off.
Yeah.
So it's got to be, it has to be the MacBook Air behind me.
Oh,
so.
The Air did it. Well, here's what I got. I got a question about this. No, I'm glad it came up.
Yeah.
Because yesterday I'm working and I'm working away on a project for a client, and all of a sudden I get a FaceTime request on my computer that is being initiated by somebody's phone somewhere, and it's not somebody I recognize. So I'm like, decline. Okay. I get like 8 more requests. Decline, decline, decline. Like I'm not gonna FaceTime some stranger. Like, what is that even about? How do they get my number? I don't even want to think about it. So I'm declining the hell out of them. Then later I notice there's a conversation going on with my wife and my daughter. Via text, I'm getting all of them on my screen, but I'm not typing anything, but it says it's me replying, but it's Kim who's replying on her phone somewhere, not even in the house. She's somewhere off somewhere.
Yeah, would you like me to tell you how that happens?
Explain to me what the hell I'm doing wrong.
So, all right, so you've got, so everybody's on the same Apple ID, right?
Well, 2 of us are, Kim and I are, yeah.
There you go. So she did something like did an update or did something where it resets, the accounts that are associated with that device. So basically what you're saying is, all right, I want messages now to respond to anything that comes to my email account or my phone number.
Okay.
And by default, it'll start with everything on that Apple ID.
Oh.
So if somebody sends an email to Kim's email address on that Apple ID, it's going to go to both of you because you've both got it set up. So you have to go into messages both on the iOS device and on your computer and on all your devices and say, all right, this one only gets things that come to my phone number and my direct email address. This one only gets things that come to my email address. This one only gets things that come to my phone number.
And this is just in the settings somewhere.
It's in the settings. It's in preferences in
it's the greatest tech support column in radio history.
It's in preferences on your Mac, and then it's in your system settings on your iOS device.
All right, fine.
You know, because this happens to me. Anytime Tristan downloads an update or gets an update, all of a sudden now his texts start appearing in messages on my
because
computer.
He accepts something.
Right. He just basically clicks okay to this iOS device is now set to receive messages on iMessage and FaceTime from...
Hey, well, that's not a bad way to get like a little spy action going on and what the boys texting around, you know?
You'd think, but boy, you know, when you see that first message, it's like, oh God, I feel right. Dirty for looking at that.
Yeah, I shouldn't have seen this wiener photo. I need to not look at this.
Hey, he doesn't work for Fox.
Oh my gosh, that video was so funny.
Are we
funny.
Talking about that in the news?
It's not in the news because it's so visual, but basically your Fox affiliate there in Denver, where it was great because they're all, you know, everybody wants to be so social media conscious these news stations are sitting around with an iPad talking about Facebook pictures.
Let's look at what Twitter says about the helicopter crash in Seattle, which, by the way, that's horrible.
Yeah, it was hideous, whatever was going on there. But they were flipping through these photos. And it was showing a camera view over the shoulder of the main anchor guy. Mm-hmm. And he's flicking through these photos of so it appears here people have already on social networks have already been posting information that we don't even have on the ground yet. So this is it's always that the power of social media is really amazing, blah, 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 even though it's slowly eroding at your traditional news model. But anyway, they're flipping through this thing and out of nowhere, completely randomly, a dude's penis. Just a wiener.
It's really funny because it's like, all right, well, here, you can see, here's a shot of the Space Needle, and there you can see the helicopter and all the smoke rising. Oh, there's a picture of Edward Scissorhands. Oh, there's a giant burrito.
They cut away. But the best part of the cutaway is that the five people on the couch, I assume it's like the weather guy, the sports guy. Yes. I don't know who all's there.
Right.
But they guard away, and all of them have the same body language of, oh no, that was just on camera, but we can't acknowledge it. Like it is an odd energy. It's a weird thing to
really
see.
It's really funny because there's a woman on the far right and a guy on the far left who have the best reactions to it. Like the guy on the far left puts his hand up to his mouth like, oh.
Yeah. And the lady's like just the
woman
twitch.
On the right, I can't, yeah, I mean, there's kind of a horrified and a intrigued look.
Yeah. Like what is going on here? And the guy in the middle, you know, if anyone has ever pretended he didn't see something more, I don't know who it is. I kind of am bugged by it, though. Now, I get that it's bad, and I get that you're on TV, and I get that it was a mistake. All these things I get. Yeah. This is why I don't like traditional media, and I prefer what we do. And here's the simple reason. It happened. You don't have to pretend it didn't happen. Right. We know it happened. You pretending it didn't happen doesn't make it not happen any less.
Yeah, but what are they going to say?
They're going to be funny, self-deprecate, laugh it off. Yeah.
Well, I guess you'll find anything on Twitter. I didn't know we were in Brett Favre's account.
Yeah, well, you can say a million things like that. I liked your first bit. Just say, whoa, well, you never, you know, always a bit of a landmine when you're walking around. Or a minefield, and you're walking around Twitter sometimes. All right, over to you, Bill.
How did we get on the CBS affiliates Twitter account?
But see, that's what I mean. They're so uptight and so afraid.
I think that at least in two of the people's minds that were sitting on that couch, they were thinking, FCC fine, FCC fine. Yeah,
probably. FCC fine. And that's part of the problem. That's exactly kind of my point. Now, it doesn't mean that I want, you know, my mainstream television news to run around showing wieners all day as if it's no problem or whatever.
Sure, of course.
But if something's going to happen, and it does happen, it's nobody's fault. Nobody needs to act like they're going to die. The camera cut away as it's supposed to. Director said, whoa, get off that. Go to camera three. Everybody did what they're supposed to do. It's okay to giggle a little, smile, and say, oops, well, we didn't mean for that to happen. You don't have to act like it didn't happen at all, because then here's the net effect. Yeah. I don't trust you anymore.
Right. We exactly. Either you're not paying attention, or you're hoping I'm not paying attention.
Yeah, and then what do I? I don't believe you anymore because now. When are you doing this all? Are you doing this all the time? Are you just reading stuff because you're supposed to? Do you have? Are you a robot? Who are you exactly? Right. Anyway.
Oh yeah.
It was pretty funny.
It's damn funny.
Laughed one way or the t'other. All right. Well, there you go. Hearthstone, wieners. What else is there? I know, Daryl. Let's.
Where do we go from that?
Let's call him and add him to the program. Hold on. Here we go. Meant to have this ahead of time, but I'm a little slow today. Okay, here we go. It's Stump a Trek Nerd, brought to you by
Fantasy Coins' new Kickstarter project. It's actually coins this time. We're creating 15 sets, each containing 3 coin types. Want to enhance your board games, RPG, LARP, or just have awesome coins? Go to bit.ly/fantasycoin.
Nice. Daryl, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Glorious. How you feeling today, man?
I am feeling incredible.
Whoa.
Ooh, wow.
I've never heard those words come out of your mouth before.
The Incredibles. Incredibles.
Nice. Now, here's a couple questions for you. Let's talk about this. We have it in the news later, and we'll brush on it here. But so they announced Incredibles sequel, Incredibles 2, The Incredibles 2, we assume it'll be called. Probably have some subtitle. I don't know. That's very exciting. The internet went one of two ways yesterday. They went, yay, or meh, they always ruin sequels, meh. And some guy says, tell me one good time that anyone makes a good sequel to kids' movies. And I said, oh, I don't know. How about Toy Story 2 and 3? How about freaking Harry Potter? How about a million other things? And the guy didn't reply back. Anyway, the point is this. Why everyone's all upset is probably not important because this is just what the internet does. So screw those guys. I know that you've believed for a long time that The Incredibles is one of the best movies ever, not just the best Pixar movie, but maybe one of the best movies ever made. And I'm in complete agreement with you. I love that movie with all that I am. I think it's one of the best movies ever made. Well, it's in my top 15 movies. Now, here's the problem. Or here's the question, Daryl, and then you answer it. Let's just say Brad Bird's not directing. They haven't announced it. They haven't even given a date. We don't know anything about it other than they're going to do a sequel. If it isn't Brad Bird, are you concerned?
No, because Pixar has great people, and I have no doubt that they will do a fantastic job with it.
I hope it's Brad Bird, even though I agree with you. I hope it's him anyway, because I think he has a vision for this stuff. And I would like to see him do that. And he's got to be getting tired of freaking live action by now, right? He did that Mission Impossible thing. He's got some other deal he's filming now. He's probably pooped. He wants to go back to computers and nerds, I think. So I'd be great if it was him. But if it's not...
I'd be concerned if it's not Brad Bird. I don't know. I think it's still going to be great if it's not. But there's that sense of humor that I felt like that tongue-in-cheek kind of stuff that really I felt came from Brad Bird.
Yeah, he's got that stuff in tow, but he also has the heart of it. Proof being that movie, I think Ratatouille does this well, and certainly The Iron Giant are all emblematic of his ability to pull emotion out of inanimate objects.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real special thing he does. So I really do hope he's involved. If he's not, it'll be fine. And the truth of it is, I'm sick of this whole thing of... Let me put it this way. Everyone thinks just because Star Wars prequels sucked that we all should be worried about the future of Star Wars. This is how I look at it. We should all be excited right up until the moment they suck. Until they suck, why not be excited about it?
Innocent to say it's, until proven guilty.
Yes. If it's all going to suck, fine. Let it suck on its own merits and in its own time. This whole, there goes my childhood memory. F that. Mm-hmm. Just let it come. Let it be the thing it's going to be. And if it blows, fine. It blows, and you can tell the world.
Sure. Yeah.
But then if they're going to make another one after that, be excited again because there's still a chance. You know?
Yeah. You can't just say, oh, don't even bother. It might be bad. Well, maybe, but it's probably not going to be bad.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Glass full. Glass half full. Wait, how's it go? Glass half full.
Right, yeah.
Glass half full. Sounds funny if you say it together.
Glass half full.
Glass half full. Glassaffle celebrating birthday today. She was in the original series episode. All right. Here's your Star Trek question, Daryl. It is a original series question, actually. It is a piece of the action is the Enterprise. Or is the episode, sorry. The Enterprise is not a piece of the action. The Enterprise comes across the mobster planet. I always love these. I think they're stupid but fun. This planet is modeled after Chicago in the 1920s and the mobs of that city. The planet used a book called Chicago Mobs of the 20s as a basis for their society. A crewman of what ship accidentally left this book behind on the planet? So this it's the not the crewman, but the name of the ship that he flew in on that left this book. Was it the USS Daedalus? I never say that right. Daedalus, thank you.
Is Daedalus, isn't it Daedalus?
I thought it was Daedalus.
I thought it was Daedalus. Daedalus and Icarus.
They said Daedalus in, I can tell you they said that in Stargate Atlantis. They referred to their ship as the Daedalus.
So. I even had a video game in the 90s starring Tia Carrera on my Mac called the Daedalus Encounter.
Oh, good Lord.
It was like live action.
Full motion video.
Yeah, it was like Night Trap with Tia Carrera on my Mac.
Great. How's she doing? What's she doing? You know she's got talent. USS Atlantis. USS Horizon or the USS Farragut. Farragut. I like that name. Mitch Pileggi flew the Daedalus in Stargate Atlantis. Do you ever watch Atlantis? I love that show.
No, I never saw it.
Yeah, if it ever shows up on Netflix again and you're bored, that's a good time. I liked it. I always liked it. It was my favorite of the Stargates. I know a lot of people get mad and think you can only say that about SG-1, but it had its moments. It was good. Oh, and it had the what's his name in there? The new Conan, the Game of Thrones guy. Jason Momoa got his start on that show.
Interesting.
Not his original start, but that's where he kind of got bigger. He's good. Anyway, there you go, Daryl.
I just saw the Deep Space Nine episode where all of Quark's employees go on strike.
Oh, great! Great. That's not a good one. I don't think.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's silly.
Yeah, there's some. You haven't gotten to the Tribble one yet, right?
I don't think I've gotten to the Tribble one now.
So good.
Really? Okay, yeah, good.
So good. That one's one of my favorites. It should be everyone's favorite. It's really good. All right, Daryl, how do you feel about the Tribble one?
Oh, I like that one.
Good. They go back in time, Brian, and they meet Kirk and crew, and they use footage from the original show.
I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
It's really dumb, and you'd expect me to absolutely hate it, but I just throw out all believability and just love it for what it is.
Yeah, the fan service of it is really strong. And even like Worf's, I won't give anything away, but Worf gives an explanation as to why Klingons used to not have the bumpy heads. It's really good. Okay, awesome. So Daryl, while you think on it, and I want you to think on it real hard, just like Brian gets the menstrual cramps real hard, let's do this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
We have more Alaskan food, and I...
Let me open up my small flat rate box.
We have not talked about this yet, but I think we should open the King Salmon Jerky.
Ooh.
You just... Right to the meat.
Well, I can do fish, so... I'm okay with the fish.
I am a smoked salmon snob, so...
Oh, good.
This shit will be either good or horrible.
I've noticed people in Seattle are snobs about 10 different things. Have you noticed that?
What, like coffee?
Coffee is one. Salmon is another. Oops. And I'm sure there's something I can't think of.
Software and books.
And grunge music. All right. Opening. Is Courtney Hole still live in Seattle?
I don't know. I doubt it.
Really smells like a dead Russian man.
Give me a dead Russian man then.
Wow. That sounded great. And if you would.
Russia, jerky smell like you.
All right. Ooh. This is good.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
It's like chewing on a. Dead Russian man too.
I'm into it though,
but it is good. Yum.
This reminds me of the food my brother used to buy at the the Oriental Market, and they always had stuff like this, like dried fish and squid and things, and this is very similar to that. That's really good.
I highly approve.
Look at that. You guys got to the freaking salmon smoked snob over there. Impressive. Who sent us these? We should give credit. Hold on.
A McDermott from Alaska.
There it is. Yep. Dude, there's something weird in his thing. All right. Yeah, that's who it is.
We got tea bags too. So at some point, we're going to have to make sure we've got hot water with us. Well, I guess we just brew the tea before we start the show.
Yeah, that's true.
Hmm. I don't have any way to do that, so I'm just going to chew on the leaves.
If we lived in...
really? Your office does not supply like a hot water machine?
Oh, they're... I don't think so.
You got a thermos, don't you? Make it at home and put in the thermos and bring it.
Been there for years, and he's like, I don't know, maybe. Like,
I've never been to the break room.
I just bring my own stuff.
You're just in your weird Gattaca cubicle there in the corner, and you've never seen outside of it? All right.
Pretty much.
Good times.
Yeah, let's just bring a thermos. Brew it up at home, and then bring in a thermos.
Yeah, thermos.
Yeah, I'll do something.
My dad used to pronounce it thermouse.
No.
Yep.
Really?
Yep. He said thermouse. Said, put soup in a thermouse, son. That's better to take to school. And I'd say, okay, Dad, what the hell is a thermouse?
It's that heated mouse superhero.
Yeah, yeah, thermouse. Thermouse!
It's a famous DJ who wears a helmet with big ears.
Wait, what? That was funny just on the face of it, but I don't know the reference at all.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense to me either.
Yeah, I don't get it. All right. But it made me laugh.
I was going with a Danger Mouse reference.
Oh, yeah.
Their mouse.
Oh, okay.
How about the what's the other mouse? Dead Mouse. He's got some crazy hat gear going on, right?
He's actually, that's the one I was thinking of. Dead Mouse, not Danger
Dead
Mouse.
Yeah, Danger Mouse was a cartoon, wasn't he?
That's right. Yep. Yeah.
Isn't it also a band? Danger Mouse.
There is a Danger Mouse. Yep.
Okay, I knew that. Danger. Do you ever read the? Oh, never mind.
Archineer got it.
Well, because he's smart. where he makes things go. Okay,
let's. No, one person out of 1,000 will get my jokes. Yeah, that's fine.
That's
I'll
okay.
just curl up in the corner right here.
It was still worth it. It was worth it. And it made me laugh just on the face of it, so you accomplished that. All right, so what are we doing? Oh, yeah, the birthdays. So who in Star Trek do we give two rats' asses about today?
Well, speaking of Stargate Atlantis, Connor Trinneer was on there. And he was also Trip Tucker on Enterprise.
Hold on. He's great.
Yeah, he is great.
He is also, hold on, everybody, back up. Let's get back to a little Blizzard fun here. He's the voice of the Templar companion in Diablo 3. So the guy that's always rolling with you going, did you see that creature over there? Glorious, that guy. That's him doing the voice, and he's great in it. And I want to say there's another Star Trek guy who does the scoundrel as well in that game. And I can't think of his name to save my life, but one of those other dudes. And then this guy plays Covetous Shem in Diablo 3.
Wow.
Which, by the way, I know Brian's like, for some reason, he won't touch a Blizzard game to save his life right now. But
lately, I know.
There's so much in there going on. Like last night, randomly, Tom Merritt, the one and only Tom Merritt got a random email out of nowhere that, hey, Tom, here's your Heroes of the Storm beta.
Oh, nice.
So they must be giving out more to people without much notice, and that's good. So keep your eye on that, even though you probably won't play it. But it's really good.
I'll play things when they're in beta, and then as soon as they become real.
I'm out. Anyway, there's so much to do in that world right now. That Diablo patch is freaking insane. That new expansion's out like in a week. I can't wait. I can't freaking wait. All right, Daryl, back to the story at hand here. We got this dumb mobster episode, and they got this ship that brought the book and then left it there, and then everyone built their life around it. Which is a super dumb idea, but kind of cool in a weird way.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of these ships, the deadliest catch, Atlantis, the Horizon, or the Farragut. What do you say?
Okay. Well, I know this one. And they also had a Enterprise episode named, I think it was, the name of the episode was the Horizon or something.
Oh.
And supposedly this book was on that ship in this episode, but I never saw it.
Mm. You never saw this episode?
Well, I saw the episode. I never saw the book in the background.
Oh, got it. All right. Oh, it was actually in view, like on camera. Got it.
Supposed to be, yeah, but I never saw it. Anyway. Well, why am I thinking? I'm about to say Horizon.
What am I doing here thinking? That's the best thing you've ever said. That was great. Okay, let's find out.
Why is there food in my mouth?
Congratulations! You're a winner!
How did I get in the shower? You are correct. It's the USS Horizon. A crewman of the USS Horizon left their book behind. It was used to model their society on. Here's a clip of Kirk trying to distract some mobsters with the game of Fizbin. Fizbin.
The name of the game is called Fizbin.
Fizbin.
Fizbin. It's not too difficult. Uh-huh. Each player gets 6 cards, except for the dealer, the player on the dealer's right, who gets 7.
On the right.
Yes. The second card is turned up, except on Tuesday.
On Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Oh, look what you've got, 2 jacks. You got a half Fizbin already.
I need another jack.
No, no, if you got another jack, why, you'd have a shrunk.
A shrunk?
Yes, you'd be disqualified. Oh. Now, what you need now is either a king and a deuce, except at night, of course, when you'd need a queen and a 4.
Except at night.
Right. Oh, look at that. You got another jack. How lucky you are. How wonderful for you.
Oh, my gosh. What's going on?
I love how they have to repeat everything he says. Yeah. Except on Tuesday. On Tuesday.
Not only are they based on mobsters, they're based on really, really dumb mobsters. So right. There you go. Daryl, good job. Way to go. It's Daryl Skeels, everybody. So far, perfect week. And if you want to follow him on Twitter, you'd be well to do so at The Trek Nerd. He's also at ThisWeekInTrek.com. Fantastic podcast about all things Trek. Did one go up yesterday? A new one?
Yes. Another one went up.
Very nice. Well, while we're here and while we're queer, let's go ahead and do a... What are we doing? Oh, we're going to do a trivia thing. So what do you got?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ken P., the guy that sent me these that aren't working out so well, sent me another set of stuff to replace these, but I forgot to copy them in, so I don't have them.
Oh, no.
So I'll just have to go with this, what we had before. Right. So here we go.
All right.
Is this a Klingon name or Thai food?
I'm going to say go.
You can guess first, and then I'll ask the question. We'll see if you're right.
It's a bad idea. Bad idea.
Okay. Kang Hang Lee.
That's a Klingon name.
No, that's Thai food.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't eat enough Thai food. I'll go with you.
The Lee. I think the Lee is what makes the Thai food. Kang Hang would probably be Klingon.
All right. I'll go with you. Is it a Thai food?
I need to replace these immediately. Yes, it's a Thai food.
He says that every day and then forgets every day. That's my favorite thing in the world.
I love it.
All right. Nice job, Daryl.
These are fun. It's making us feel smart.
Yeah, I like it.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
Yeah, it helps us go. It's the news.
And it's brought to you by Diary of a Cartoonist, where you get to see the personal side of Scott Johnson on iTunes or at frogpants.com.
Seems like a decent idea. That voice, man. Woo.
I just spin the wheel and whatever random sound effect it comes, it lands on.
I like it. My day is fueled by...
I don't like that one, though. That one's weird.
That one seems like you should be yelling at me to give you my wallet in a dark alleyway. Like or a small room in some old warehouse or something.
Right.
So a man was hit with a chair, got hit with a chair, and got headbutted also for burping really loud at a Taco Bell. Yeah, that's right. You heard it.
Really?
Yeah, he burped really loud at a Taco Bell. Something like this. Like that?
Hello.
We have audio from the event.
Yeah, here's Scott Fletcher doing it.
Hello.
That's actual Fletcher burp. Yeah, it's not quite like the movie burp.
Right.
I got another good one here. About this one here. That was me a few years ago. I did that. Police at a South Carolina. At a South Carolina.
Was his last name Dunaway?
Well, I've heard him burp. He can do it with the best of them. Mm-hmm. They're looking for a suspect who apparently doesn't tolerate bad manners. Today, or Tega K, South Carolina police. That's a place? Tega K.
That's a place. Tega K.
That's a great name.
Is it a South Carolina city or a or Thai Star food. Trek thing?
Yeah. Police say a 20-year-old Fort Mill man sat down with a friend at a local Taco Bell restaurant on Sunday. Well, there's your first problem. You don't eat at the Taco Bell. Who does that?
Well, yeah.
Who goes in there, sits down, and eats there? That's crazy to me.
Whatever. Well, I do every once in a while. I mean, you can't drive and eat a taco. You can drive and eat a burger. You can, you know, but unless you're taking it back home, yeah, I do the same thing. If I'm on my way somewhere and I want Taco Bell, I'll go in and eat, as opposed to trying to wolf down a Crunchwrap Supreme while I'm driving a car.
You'd be surprised, though, how comfortable a Staples or a Home Depot or whatever it was.
That's right. That's
Office
true.
Depot parking lot.
You can take it home
is.
Or yeah. just take it to the nearest Office Supply Chain parking lot.
Yeah,
yes.
Wherever that may be. They're all going out of business, so you got to hurry. They're all filing for bankruptcy. Let's see. He sat down with his friend at this restaurant, and a man in another booth asked him if he had belched without saying, excuse me. The guy just asked him, hey, did you burp without saying, excuse me? Really? Police. Yeah, that's what it says. Police report says the man walked over to the victim, picked up a chair, and hit the victim on the left elbow. The victim also told police the man grabbed his throat and tried to headbutt him before the restaurant worker told the assailant to leave. I think he should have called the cops, not just told him to leave.
Yeah, no kidding.
Report says the victim suffered a minor cut on his elbow and redness around his throat. Police said the suspect left in a white pickup truck. I like the idea that he suffered from redness around his throat. I suffered from it. What'd you suffer from? Redness around my throat.
Redness? I suffered from redness. Okay, so don't Taco Bells have the chairs that are like bolted in?
That's what I thought.
That rotate around and...
They don't have legs as far as I know.
Yeah, they're
there's
just
a,
like
there's a hole in
built
the
into a little right, exactly.
When you worked there, were they like that? That was high school, so.
Oh God, yeah, they were. They was well, no, you know what? Because I remember having cleaned the dining room, mm-hmm. and you'd have to take the chairs and put them up on the tables or something, and sweep out the dining room. But
in that case, maybe South Carolina is just behind the times, like we all assume they are anyway.
Maybe.
Yeah. Take that, South Carolina. Mm-hmm.
Maybe he ripped the chair off the floor and hit, beat the guy with it.
Yeah, don't burp in front of assailants. Is the
hit the victim on the left elbow. He hit me on the elbow.
And I now suffer from it.
That caused redness.
here's an interesting story. Now, it's also a little sad, but also very interesting. This fascinates me, and you hear about this sometimes happening, and here's another documented case. A mother, a father, and a daughter all die days apart. Now, not because of the same accident or anything like that. This is how it worked. They're all really close. Sandy Shute, age 57, died on Friday, March 7th, of a long illness, according to the St. Cloud Times. Hours later, her mom, Sharon Shute, age 76, died from lung cancer and had had metastasized to her brain. Then, on Tuesday, Sharon's husband, Thomas Shute, died at a hospice at age 77.
Wow.
Boom, boom, boom.
Jeez.
Sandy was born with Down syndrome. This is according to her sister. Oh, so there's still some other family members.
But, yeah, I'd be watching. I'd be keeping an eye on them.
Yeah, keep your eyes open. She's the oldest of us kids, and my mom and dad promised they were going to keep her at home with them as long as they could. My brothers and I are doing fine. It's okay. It's going okay, they say. Anyway, it's just interesting. Nice. All days apart. That's just nuts.
It's I expect Jack Palance to come out and say, believe it
or not.
Or not.
What's the thing he said that we always played on the show? It was in the...
Getting dangerously close to burnout.
Burnout. I'm just trying to... I got to see if I have that still. Because I love that clip and I feel like it's one I can't find.
That's a classic.
Jack.
I've got that on the same album as the... As the Casey Kasem freak out and the Linda McCartney singing Hey Jude really badly.
Crap, I can't find it. I have to track that down. Ice Warm, get on it.
I've got that, so I can send it to you.
Yeah, you can send it over to me. That's fine. Mm-hmm. There you go. Hey, Squarespace.com sponsoring the show. Got to thinking yesterday after that win in Hearthstone. That I mean, it really boistered me. I was like, man, I can do this now. And then I went on to lose like four matches. But
oh.
Yeah, people are good. That's the problem. I really like it, though. And I got to thinking, man, you know, if I wasn't already so involved in so many other projects, that might be a game I would, you know, circle around and do extra stuff for in either podcasting or blogging or something. Mm-hmm. And there's no real need to. Those Angry Chicken guys kind of have it cornered.
Such a great job. And you don't want the ire of Jocelyn and Dills and...
Or Garrett.
Yeah. The Garrett on you, yeah. You don't want to raise the irk.
Can't take that heat.
Plus, come on, can anybody cover that game any better than Dills?
No,
Dills
is obsessed, and that is good for that show. Yeah, so they got it going on. It's a really good show. If you like Hearthstone and you're not listening to that show, you're stupid. You should listen to it. But anyway, the point is, we, you know, I was thinking, well, maybe, you know, fan art or something like that. Well, how would I do it and do it in a way that's quick and easy and not going to be a huge headache for me web-wise? Well, the answer would be something like Squarespace.com, where I can build anything I want with whatever templates I want, and have it work on mobile, have it work on desktop, and have it all just kind of work, which is not a thing you can say for a lot of these kinds of services. My favorite thing about them is their free trial, because I don't have to go spend money to find out if I like it or not. I can go just try it out. No credit card required. Just look at it, see it, try it, do stuff. And if I decide to stay, save you some money. 25% off. Use the code MORNING at checkout at squarespace.com. That's squarespace.com with the checkout code MORNING.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by
The Daily Tech News Show, starring Tom Merritt. It's like car, like Sunday. See Tom Merritt and his monster trucks, at thedailytechnewsshow.com. Hop on over there today and see how tech coverage should be.
I like how you added more echo to the echo, because you went right, Sunday.
Right, yes.
Trucks. That was great.
Just felt like it needed extra.
Sure, why not? Let's see. Star Wars 7, the episode 7 there, is starting production in May. So they start principal filming and all that stuff this May, which is, what, 2 months? Not even that.
A month and a half away. By the way, people, it's not going to be called Blue Harvest, so
no.
Don't try and find it somewhere.
Yeah, it's not going to be called that. Essential plot detail revealed. Do you want to hear what this is? Mm-hmm. Or do you not want to know? It's up to you.
Oh, well.
It's not like a spoiler.
Oh, it's the next sentence I've heard about this, so okay. That's not a surprise.
Disney and Lucasfilm announced today that they're going to start this thing in May. They're trying to get the thing ready for December 18th, 2015 release date. The filmmakers also revealed that the new movie, the first of three planned sequels, will pick up 30 years after Return of the Jedi, essentially 30 years later after the films were made, which makes sense because those actors who they have hired, and that's all they confirmed, are 30 years older. Director J.J. Abrams. What do you think the J.J. stands for? Because they're initialized.
So. John Jacob. John Jacob Abrams.
I like Jimmy
Abrams.
Yep. Is famous for the tight lid he keeps on all his productions, be them big or small screen, but at least there's one thing to start building some hope off of.
Jeffrey Jacob Abrams.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Jeffrey Jacob. It's pretty close to yours.
Jeffrey Jacob Abrams.
Let's see. What are we doing here? So far, one person's in talks. Adam Driver, and reports commitments from Harrison Ford, Carrie Fisher, and Mark Hamill for probably a few more actors. Rumor has it most every actor in the world has been cast in this movie, but so far, the official cast member that we have confirmed and the only one is R2-D2.
They're basically casting like Ellen DeGeneres makes selfies.
Of course.
How about you get up here and you come over here and you audition for this. And once you get up here and you can be a robot, and why don't you come up here and be a Greedo?
You know that Let Me Make a Selfie song that everyone's playing now?
I don't.
Let me make okay, I'm going to find it and then you're going to hate it.
All right.
So here we go. Official
I'm glad video. That I can go from discovering to hatred of something.
Oh, you can do it immediately.
Within a few seconds.
Immediately. And people on Vine can't stop using the song for things, of course.
Oh, God.
So okay. Here it is. Wait for it.
When Jason was at the table, I kept on seeing him look at me while he's with that other girl. Do you think he was just doing that to make me jealous? Because he was totally texting me all night last night, and I don't know if it's a booty call or not. So, like, what do you think? Did you think that girl was pretty? How did that girl even get in here? Do you see her? She's so short, and that dress is so tacky. Who wears cheetah? It's not even summer. Why does the DJ keep on playing Summertime Sadness? After you get out of the bathroom, can we go smoke a cigarette? I really need one. But first, let me take a selfie.
All right. But first, okay. Let me take a selfie.
That was the most horrible thing I heard until, but first, let me take a selfie.
Right. It's the official video for the Chainsmokers is the band.
Okay.
And its song is called #Selfie or #Selfie. And it is 21 million views.
Of course it is.
Oh gosh, don't
say that. At what point does she sing "Sweep Sweep Brush"? Sweep Sweep Brush.
That's a good gets a good question.
Because I really want to know.
I'd like to combine all these vacuous.
With the mashup, yeah. Yes, exactly.
That'd be great. Well, anyway, that's going on. I wonder if this R2-D2 thing is, means Kenny Baker will be helping or not. Probably not. They don't need that anymore, do they?
Yeah. How much did they use him in the prequels?
He was in it, but it was a lot less.
Yeah, because there was a lot of CGI R2.
Yeah.
Especially the flying scene.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you remember, I don't know if you remember this or not, but in the first one in The Phantom Menace, you had your Yoda, but it was still puppet Yoda in that one. But then as soon as they got to Clone Wars, he went all CGI and jumping around like an idiot. Yes. I freaking hated that. Everybody would love that and cheered. I thought it was terrible.
Tina hated it. It's like her least favorite thing in the pantheon of Star Wars. I think that's even worse than midichlorians and Jar Jar.
Yeah. Because it's just like, he was this little...
He's a little frail, and then all of a sudden, oh, look, he's...
Jumping around like a baby on crack.
So he's either faking it for attention.
Right, it has all these implications.
Exactly.
Oh, the Tina's great. You tell her I agree.
I will do. she'll hear. She listens.
Disney, speaking of Disney, they got their hands in everybody's cookie jar.
That's right.
I can't stop eating this jerky. I gotta move
it's
it out.
Disney
of my
poop.
Way.
I know. It's so just good. Calling out.
So
eat
good.
The salmon.
Dear Pixar. Sorry, Disney Pixar.
Did you think it was email?
Dear Pixar. I would like an incredible sequel. Thanks. They're in sequel heaven right now. They're doing a incredible sequel and another Cars movie. Now everyone calm down about the Cars thing. I want to make something very clear about that. That may not be all of our favorite of the Pixar movies. I get that.
Yes.
I didn't hate the first one. I thought it was fine. I haven't seen the second one, so I can't speak to it. But this is what I'll say about the Cars series. There's a reason they're making them. They're not making them to torture you. They're making them because kids go to them in droves, and they make money hand over fist over hand over fist. Those are hugely successful, financially successful films. So it doesn't matter what you think about them. They're going to keep making the Cars movies because they specifically speak to a very young generation who love them. Mm-hmm. So get over it. It's fine. It's okay that you don't have to be all hipstery about Pixar. Let them make the money.
Dumbest thing ever. NASCAR.
Yeah,
NASCAR
right?
out of my animated.
but they have an opportunity there to make a cash cow series like that, whether you like it or not. I don't mean you, but everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
And then use that money to turn it around and make more personal, quieter, less, projects that are less about raking in a bunch of cash, like the Ups of the World and an incredible sequel, perhaps, and other stuff. This is a good thing, and I don't know why people have to get so freaking negative about it. But anyway, here's the point. The Incredibles and Cars are getting sequels. They announced it. We talked about it earlier a little bit.
Yes.
The Incredibles is getting re-released as a 3D film, so is... Not Wall-E. What's crap? Oh, Ratatouille's also getting that treatment.
Oh, Ratatouille.
Mm-hmm. So that's coming to theaters just as a thing. But Cars 3, that's coming.
Yeah, you know, and it's the sad thing is when I was out in BlizzCon last year, the Cars ride was taken down, or not taken down, but like turned off. I don't know what the word is, for turning into Christmas Land or Christmas Cars. Oh. So I never got a chance to ride on this big, cool... The one thing that I might have really liked about Cars was going to be that ride.
Yeah. It's like the Haunted Mansion. We almost didn't get in because they were... the first day we were there, they weren't quite done putting up the Halloween crap.
Oh, really?
You know what it was? It was the conversion to all the Skellington stuff. Jack,
yeah, exactly.
And they hadn't finished.
So well done.
Yeah, it's really good. I like that stuff.
They need. They don't have anything Incredibles there, do they?
No.
At any of the parks?
No. But see, again, see, that's that. I think The Incredibles is one of those movies that maybe even internally they never saw as the most wide audience one. It was the one that really appealed to guys like me and you.
Mm-hmm.
I think kids loved it too, but I don't know. Maybe just a little harder to theme around or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was no Toy Story.
No.
It was no Bug's Life.
Yeah. I wonder if they'll. Well. They got to hurry up and get as much John Ratzenberger in these things as they can. So maybe we'll get an Underminer story. I don't know. It would be great if we did.
yeah, you know, the original character that I was going to be playing was going to be based on my Empire Strikes Back appearance.
For you, it's the Cliff. It's like Cliff Clavin and Peter Griffin had a baby. That's that impression right there.
Nice.
Hey, Peter. All right, here we go.
Hey, Lois.
Miley Cyrus, I think is how you say it. Mm-hmm. Cyrus, yeah.
Sirius.
Sirius.
Miley Sirius.
Miley Sirius, Harry Miley Potter's best friend in book 3. Her tour bus has gone up in flames.
Oh.
Miley Cyrus's tour bus was reportedly completely engulfed in flames during a late night fire.
Yet another giant tongue accident.
Yeah, another giant tongue responsible. No one's seen it since. Gene Simmons is oddly quiet right now.
Could not be reached for comment.
Why? Which can be seen in the video that her younger sister Noah posted on Instagram. Okay, can I just say a quick thing to Billy Ray Cyrus?
Yeah.
Call your daughter Noah.
Noah.
Come
yeah.
on, man. What are you doing? You can call a girl that. Noah. She has every Barbie ever made 2x2, and they sleep in a boat. Okay, that's a stupid joke. I'm moving on. Miley Cyrus retweeted her sister's post that read, "Cyrus bust down," because money means nothing to her, and she's having a good time with it.
Right. Cyrus bust down! Cyrus bust down!
That's a good Ridley Scott film from 2000. I'm in the mood for that, by the way.
Really? Black Hawk Down?
Every once in a while, I crave it. There's something about that movie.
I feel like I need to see it again because it comes up so often, mentioned so often, and so many people that were in that get mentioned so often that I feel like I need a refresher.
I think you should. It's really, really good, and it's one of my favorite Ridley Scott movies. It's fantastic.
It's streaming.
Yeah, and it's, you know, it's got a twinge to it because it's all based on a real thing, but I don't know. There's something about it. I just love it. The photos and videos posted early hours, blah, 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 show a massive fire surrounding the Cyrus bus. luckily, no one was injured, according to Noah. Quote, "Yes, everyone got out safe and no one is injured whatsoever. Everything is okay," she wrote. "Thank you, God, for keeping us safe." Does he read Twitter?
when he's not helping the latest reality show contestant win that cupcake prize.
Yeah. One of my favorite Twitter accounts is the Tweet of God. Have you read that one before?
No.
Oh, you should be following it.
Sounds like I should.
The Tweet of God. Hold on, I'm going to find him real quick. Yeah, here he is. He says things like, "Any similarity between life and fairness is purely accidental." He said, "This plane thing has me beat." He capitalized me, of course.
Oh, I'm totally following it. Nice.
"It's not that I don't answer your prayers. It's that I don't listen to them." Here's a good one. "The best argument creationists can make against evolution is themselves." That's a good one. "Good morning, California. That was me."
I love it.
"I like great. Big bangs and I cannot lie," he says.
I was just going to make E equal MC, but then I thought, oh, let's go nuts. Fred Phelps, I'll see you soon. Kidding, I won't be seeing you.
Yeah. Isn't that great? It's really fantastic. Funny. And he's got like a million followers now, 1.2 million followers. And he only follows one person. Guess who that one person is?
I don't know.
Justin Bieber.
Harold Camping. Justin Bieber. Awesome.
It's the only person he follows.
Oh my God, that's brilliant.
It's pretty
well
good.
Well done, whoever has,
whoever runs Tweet of God. Yeah. Well, that's God. Yeah.
Yeah, that's God. Now. Sure.
So they burned up in their own filth. What else are we doing here? Oh, they're fine. I'm sorry. Everyone survived. I meant the bus. I meant the extra tongues. All the prop tongues have burned in the fire.
Reports say that there were some giant teddy bear costumes and a black and white Foot Locker uniform destroyed in the fire.
I could probably look for a size 11 in the back. I hate that place. All right, we're going to take a break after we tell you about our friends at tweakedaudio.com with their fine earbuds, their stylings, their quality, their earbud goodness. Go check them out. We talk about them all the time, so you already kind of know the drill, everybody. The only real thing you have left to do in your mind is say, do I want a lifetime warranty? And if the answer is yes, do you want 33% off? Well, then if the answer to that is also yes, go to tweakedaudio.com and use the code STREAM at checkout. Duh, it's all right in front of you. That's stream at checkout for 33% off. Percent. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, recommendals, Tom's Tech Time, and more. What do you have for us for a song break?
Well, here's what I've got. So this is going out to Nicholas from Des Moines. Says, I would like to request a song for the show on Wednesday the 19th, if possible. Oh, yes, it's possible. I'm writing on the eve of the day I will travel for my grandfather's funeral, who passed away after fighting Alzheimer's for several years. Yeah. This is a story near, you know, near and dear to our hearts.
Sure.
With the Alzheimer and Tina's family. He was a good man who always supported us no matter what we did or whatever the outcome. In recent years, he only managed to come to a few of my children's swimming events, but they were always excited to have him there. I would like to request any song written or performed by the man in black, Johnny Cash. Both he and my grandmother are big fans. And if you want my opinion, part of the reason she fell for him was because he resembled him when he was younger. I understand it's short notice, but hopefully if not Wednesday, then perhaps any time he can squeeze it in would be fine. If you could do this in memory of Kenneth Zuhl, as in Gatekeeper of Gozer, I would greatly appreciate it. Love the show, though. Nicholas from Des Moines.
All right.
Very good.
I'm in.
Wow. So going out in memory of Kenneth Zuhl and Nicholas, sorry to hear about this. And again, you know, our condolences and our thoughts and wishes going out to you. There's so many covers of and by Johnny Cash. It's really hard to kind of go with, you know, to focus down on one thing. But since we haven't played this on the show before, and it's actually a lot of fun, how about a cover of Ring of Fire? This by Earl Scruggs and Friends from his 2001 album called Earl Scruggs and Friends. By the way, I should clarify, the Gozer reference was in his email.
No.
It wasn't me interjecting.
Okay.
That.
Okay.
That was in his email.
I wondered.
Not me being callous or cold or anything.
Sure.
Ring of Fire by Earl Scruggs, cover of the song that was written by Anita Carter and, of course, most famously performed by Johnny Cash. Here it is with the help of actor Billy Bob Thornton.
Wow. Okay.
On vocals.
I like fried tater, potato fried taters.
Right. I should say actor and musician, because all the stuff he does with the Boxmasters is so, so good. So.
Yeah. All right. Well, he's cool. I like him.
Yeah.
Here it is, Earl Scruggs, Ring of Fire. We'll be back in a minute. Stay tuned.
I fell into morning is your time. The earth wakes up with you. You'll always feel that spark of life in everything you do.
Grape Nuts. For you, it's as natural as the morning. No sugar added, no preservatives, just an honest nutty crunch. Post Grape Nuts cereal. You know when you've got it good.
Yes, you know when you've got it good.
Fair fashions were great in 28.
Welcome to the game, the show, the thing, whatever.
Man, we're back.
Yes, we are.
I have like 12 Ring of Fire covers now, and I love them all.
You want to know how many I have? Let's actually do a little.
If I have that many, it's got to be embarrassing how many you have. It's got to be just huge.
I've never looked at this, so I'm really curious. All right, Ring of Fire, making sure to do just a song search. And I have 40 items.
Good Lord. And I think probably 8 of the ones I have all came from you at some point.
Probably, yeah. I could listen for 2 hours and 14 minutes and not hear the same version of Ring of Fire twice.
I've got Social Distortion, Joaquin Phoenix, the one from the movie, right?
Right.
Let's see. Best of Bluegrass, one version on there, and then a Rolling Stone. Oh, the actual Johnny Cash one.
Mm-hmm.
So I have.
I've got. Here's some of my favorites in this list: Elvis Costello, Coldplay.
Oh wow!
Dick Dale and the Deltones, Frank Zappa, Blondie, Bob Dylan, Moby. Moby. Grace
what?
Jones.
Moby
Chris
did
Isaac.
One.
Moby does a cover of Ring of Fire. Yeah.
I am completely blown away by that. That seems like crazy talk.
Leningrad Cowboys.
Wow! See, look how popular that song is.
That's a popular song.
Okie dokie.
Everybody loves them some Ring of Fire.
We're going to call Far. Come on, get that right. Far.
Ring of Fire.
All right, we're going to get Nicole on the line. Do a little recommendal time. Got to find her theme here. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome now with me and won't you welcome. What am I trying to say? It's Nicole's bag, everybody. Hi, Nicole. Hello. She's muted.
Aww.
We can't hear her. She's muted. She can hear us because I can see her video. And
her voice has just really gotten worse since last week.
It's gone completely. Now I see her ducking, clicking things, plugging something in.
I hear a click.
I heard a click.
I turned up. Oh, the mixer was off.
There you go. How
I'm
you doing?
Rusty.
That's all right. You're a little rusty. You sound better. Jeez.
I'm getting there. Yeah, that was.
That was rough. Carter has the exact same freaking thing, and she's like,
oh, really?
In week 2, and she sounds just horrible.
Yeah, it just kind of sits on your throat.
She's supposed to go to prom this weekend, and she's like all stressed out. She's going to have no voice and be coughing the whole time. And I'm like, you'll be fine.
God, it's prom already. Jeez.
I know, right? Right? Well, it's a little early for the school, I think.
Yeah.
It's.
Usually
February.
It's
it's March. Usually in May, I thought.
Yeah, this one. So I think it's this school. But she's not in her. It's not her school. She got asked to her old school. They're going to. This boy from there is going to take her. And then their school, the one here where we live now, I think is like late May. So she may end up at 2 proms this year. I don't know.
Oh, cool. Well, it'll be fun.
Popular nerd girl. It's going well. Yeah. Well, Nicole, it's good to have you back. I'm glad you're you're here.
You
and glad
sound
you're feeling
so much
it.
Better too.
I'm getting better, but I honestly, it's only been the last like day that I've kind of recovered.
Dang.
So I've been watching a lot of just movies that remind me of when I was a kid, right? Mm. You know, those kind of feel good movies. But before I get into the movies that I have for you, have you guys talked about Popcorn Time yet?
A little bit. We haven't talked about the news about what's going on with that thing.
We really need to talk about it because I tried it out and it's a game changer. It is Napster. It is going to change the movie industry.
Well, it's been around for a while. Like I've got a buddy who's been using it for like 4 years. So it's not new, but it's starting to explode.
Well, it's so damn easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the developers... So they stopped development for a while because it got a lot of attention.
Well, it's kind of illegal.
Well, this is the thing. They're
in the way Napster was, but yeah.
Right. But they're saying it is legal because it's from a it's built on their API. So they're not hosting the movie. They're just giving you an interface.
Like Napster. We weren't hosting the songs that you're all pirating. We're just providing the interface. Well,
torrents. I mean, yeah. You start getting into these waters and I'm like, I'm going to see how easy it is. It's ridiculous. And you can put it on your PC. You put it on your Mac. You can put it on Linux. Mm-hmm. It's just a little interface. The file, they're hosting the file on GitHub. So there's a TechCrunch article here that has the link to the source file. It says we're no worse off managing the project than we were be supplying the movies. So
right. I mean, but this is important thing to note though. They're literally unlike Napster, where like so in Napster's case they truly did provide the interface and then the movies would just sort of populate in there. And it was
they hosted the software on their servers, right?
But it was peer to peer still, so the song would be on Brian's computer, and I would be pulling it from you and 30 other computers. In this particular case, is it the same where these are all just getting pulled from people's computers?
So I should have gotten this app before they went down, because according to getpopcorntie.me, it's done. They're done.
No, it's not. I just did it 2 seconds ago. I'll put the link in the. So that's the link to the TechCrunch. And here's the link to the GitHub.
Oh, and it says it's back. It is back in blog form.
There you go. The original developer stopped and then another developer picked it up.
Wow.
Retooled. I mean, it still works the same, but they retooled the API on it. But yeah, you can
It's totally illegal, though.
I know it is.
The movie, I'm not saying, and this isn't me calling you out. I'm just saying, let there be no confusion out there. There isn't suddenly like this suddenly entered the mainstream with a legal plan. No, it's still pirated movies that you're getting for free over an app that's just pulling them from people's torrents or whatever, or however the hell they're hosting them. I don't know. But what it is.
It's the kind of thing that disrupts the system. And I'm kind of for this because had we not had Napster, it would not have disrupted the music industry to make them go, maybe we should try something different. This isn't working.
Yeah, but what does this disrupt exactly?
Well, think about how I come on here and I have to search for movies. Like when you go into Popcorn Time, it's all freaking there.
Well, yeah, because it's all illegal.
Right, but so is the music. So if you think about the way that these licensee deals are being nickeled and dimed and, oh, this movie will be up for a month and then I'll be down and then I'll be up. This Popcorn Time kind of erases those barriers and says, you know what? We want a full library of movies. And guess what? If people use this service instead of buying one from iTunes or whatever, the point, I think, is that it's disrupting that system for movie delivery.
So you're kind of comparing it on the playing field of Spotify, right? Where you can go to Spotify, pull up any song, listen to it. You don't own it. You can't take it with you if you have the Spotify app.
Well, except that the Spotify service is legal.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But but you're kind of saying the same, like it's on the equivalency of that. Like basically saying, well, I don't own this movie.
Right. And that's what this is too. I can pull this up. I'm not downloading it. I'm just watching it. I don't own it. It's just there. And
well, technically, you're downloading it.
The problem is that labels have the ability to say, no, I don't want my music streamed. I don't want to be in Spotify.
Yeah.
And they don't have the ability to say, no, we don't want our, we want our movies over in Netflix and we'll stream those occasionally, but we don't want them in Popcorn Time.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying, I think of this more like how music is in iTunes, where all music is pretty much available for purchase for, 99 cents or whatever, a comparable price.
Sure.
But that's not the case with movies.
Well,
when a movie comes out, there's a whole structure to it,
and
the movie has to go through the system before it even gets to the point where you can maybe stream it.
You're totally right. The problem is that we already got over that hump in one way, and that is that before Netflix and before Amazon and before these people were streaming content that you could pay for and get legally, there was already a huge piracy problem with movies.
Sure.
All they've really done with Popcorn Time is give it a nice interface. That's really the difference.
It's really easy to do.
I agree. I completely agree. So it's as easy as Netflix is to use, but now they have all the content instead of just licensed content that only Netflix can get for whatever, whatever deals they strike or whatever.
Right.
I totally get where you're coming from, but I don't think it's a good thing because, and you and it's funny because you and I usually, Nicole and I rarely disagree, but the way I see this thing is that if you're putting out a movie, let's say it's, I don't know, whatever it is, some independent film, and you're trying to get the deals you can get and you're doing the best you can, and it looks like Amazon could carry it, but Netflix can't, or at least for 6 months or something, because that was the best deal your studio could get or whatever.
See,
so yes, you have a limited audience.
Broken. I think that system's broken.
I agree, but them not getting any money doesn't help that situation at all.
Right.
But see, if you break it down, then something new will arise, and the little people will get money. And I just think the system is just...
Oh, it may arise, but I'm just saying, hey, for the next 5 years, all that money and sweat you put into your movie, you're going to get nothing for it. Like, I don't feel like they should be the guinea pigs like this.
Well, and let me ask you this. Yeah. If there were Wood Whisperer Guild videos, like the videos you can only get as a member of the Wood Whisperer Guild that people were watching via Popcorn Time, would you be okay with that?
Of course not.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it's ethically right that this is here. And I'm not saying you should. And in fact, you know, all those wonderful commercials that are in front of your movies that make that it's going after guilt. Like, I feel guilty. Like, I won't use this because I feel guilty about, you know, I want to watch Frozen. Well, I don't want to watch it through there. So I bought the DVD and I'll watch it through the DVD because I, like you said, Scott, there's a whole infrastructure of people and money and, you know, there's ethics in that.
Sure.
But
I'm
not
with you, though.
Not everyone is like me.
No. I agree with you, though, that when these disruptions come, they drive the industry to do things. So the iTunes, the way music works now, even things like Spotify and where we're at now with streaming music services and everything else and Amazon joining the fray and everything else, those things are all directly related to the music piracy of the late 90s. When that was happening and it started to spill over into the 2000s, something kind of had to be done. In that particular case, and the timing was right, that Apple stepped forward and had a solution that was affordable for users, equitable for producers, although some have argued that, you know, some of those deals still suck or whatever. But regardless of all of that, there was a legal way to do it, and the industry could have a way to do this without being just pirated into the dirt. So you're right that it spawns all of that. I'm just saying it takes time. Movies are harder. It's a much bigger web of horribleness to get those deals struck in movies. And maybe that's what will change. I don't know. The problem is they all want to have a piece of it and nobody wants to let one entity control it. Nobody wants Netflix to control it because they want to control their own destiny, want to make their own apps. Time Warner wants to go make their own Netflix alternative. Why? Because they don't want Netflix to have that power or control over their content. Same reason people don't want Apple to have all the control or power over the Apple TV content, which is why Apple TV never got to be the thing it wanted to be.
It's just a fractured, frustrating environment for the end user right now.
Agreed.
And when I see something like this that just says, F it all, just come here and you can watch whatever you want and you don't have to worry about, is it on Prime? Is it on Netflix? Is it on blah, blah, blah?
Yeah.
I mean, it really strips the barriers down and simplifies it to a point that the average person, the person living paycheck to paycheck can go, oh, well, we can't get to the movies. It's spent $100 with our kids. But, oh, look, there's Frozen right there. And it's easy. And it's so tempting. And I do believe that the majority of people are good people and they want to do the right thing.
Sure.
But when you put barriers in front of people and make it ridiculous to do, they're going to go with the easier choice, whether or not it's legal.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, it's mostly this where this is going to be big is where it was with music. It's not going to be mom and pop at the mall. It's going to be people who know, people who get it, people who know to go to this weird github.com link and download this thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's no mainstreamness about this other than, you know, blogs are covering it. And tech journalists are talking about it. It's going to be interesting because the fact that they're up and going, I mean, it's just become it's a Napster thing waiting to happen again, which is giant, long, drawn out, horrible legal battles that will take time. And that time means that if you're pirating heavily on this thing, they might start targeting users. And if they target users, then there's another big court thing going on and then everyone's afraid. And meanwhile, nothing's happening. The industry's not changing and Netflix still has, you know, they still don't have some movie I want. And in the meantime, people who are doing smaller projects that rely on the bottom line more than, say, Frozen from Disney aren't going to get any money at all. So I feel like it's a no-win during the fight. It's like any war. It's like any war. It sucks while it's happening.
Well, and you had cases like in the chat rooms, like, yay, Nicole, we're going to visit you in federal prison. I'm not using it. I'm not using the system. I'm just saying that that just like with Napster, remember you had certain cases where it was the RRA went after, you know, an 18-year-old because she had thousands upon thousands of songs that she was just serving up, and they went after her and she had to pay thousands of dollars. And like, it's not without saying that there will be casualties as the system is disrupted.
Yeah.
But this is the kind of thing that it's so damn easy to use that it's just inevitable that the system will be disrupted
at some point. Yeah.
At some point.
This stuff's coming right one way or the other, and weird. Like, you can't stop this stuff anyway. Like, the idea that Popcorn Hour could be off the air, you know, off the grid permanently was a funny joke anyway, because you knew it was going to come back and you knew some other bunch of dudes were going to run it and do it and make it live. And that's just the way this thing is.
Right.
And these influences are going to be there. So I can agree with you completely on that. I just think it's going to be a rough go for a while.
Well, yeah.
Can I say the really good thing that came out of all this discussion, though? Mm-hmm. Is that I just realized the Wood Whisperer has the latest video is how to make custom poker chip trays.
Yeah. What?
I'm looking at this. I'm watching this right now. Oh my God, I want to do this now.
That's so cool.
And do you know, at the very end, are you guys familiar with Phil Gordon?
Yes.
He did the voice work. He did the commentary on our little skit that we did at the end. He's a Wood Whisperer Guild member, Phil Gordon.
That's great.
That is so cool.
And he's giving, so if you build the poker chip trays, we're giving away an autographed copy of his book, as well as a chance to win an hour consulting with him on poker on Skype.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah, right?
Holy cow.
But Phil Gordon, like, he's the man.
Yeah, that's insane.
I have none of these tools. I could maybe do this with a sawzall and a drill. Basically, and can I use a weed whacker to maybe cut that part right there? I don't know.
That's great.
Yeah, you're a woodworker and a poker player. This is like the perfect.
Oh my
project.
God! This is, and these are gorgeous. These trays, by the way.
Yeah, they're. I would give you them, but we already promised them to Phil.
No, that's okay.
It's all
how much to get Mark to make me a set?
I'll ask.
No, just kidding.
I think Brian should learn it.
I think I should. You know what? My father-in-law's got a bitchin' set of tools. I think I'm going to see if I can.
There you go. It's an easy project.
At his house. Yeah. Just what I need.
Yeah. Very nice.
Sorry. We derailed you, Scott.
That's all good. Everything's fine. So, you watched some legal stuff this week. How'd that go?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, so apart from this popcorn
it wasn't all ripped off.
Yeah, it's fine.
No, because I literally just tried out Popcorn Time just to see what it was like. I wanted to be able to talk about it on the show because I really
do. They still make the hardware too. There was a server type box you could buy that would stream this stuff from a computer.
I have no idea. I don't think so.
That's what my buddy's got in his theater. He has a theater with that. It's called the Popcorn Hour or something, and it's a like a little receiver box. And maybe he didn't build it, so I know he bought it somewhere, and it served up Popcorn Hour stuff.
Popcorn Popper.
Yeah, right.
Much better name.
That's what I'm saying.
So here are a few movies that you can watch legally that you might enjoy just recently.
The from a limited selection of free films.
I'm so bitter about it now.
Films available on Netflix right now.
Yeah.
I'm just so bitter. I'm like, I get it. Honestly, it is frustrating because I picked Mel Brooks as my theme this week.
Oh, cool.
And I have a lot of movies of, like, for instance, Young Frankenstein, one of my favorites. Not streaming anywhere, not at all. So pretty much SOL.
It was recently-ish. Like,
that's what my point. It sometimes does, and you know, whatever. Gadget. But what is streaming right now is the 1987 movie, Spaceballs. This is the best movie to watch when you're sick, by the way.
Yeah, I'll bet.
It's just, it's a spoof on the Star Wars trilogy. John Candy is in it as, what is it?
Barf.
Barf.
Yeah, right.
Barf the dog.
And we ain't found shit.
So many great quotable lines in this movie. I love it. If you haven't had a chance to watch it, watch it. It's streaming on Netflix. It's on Amazon Prime. And I didn't realize this. There is a Spaceballs animated series.
I just saw that on here.
Huh. Yeah, I remember this, yeah.
I don't remember it at all. Yeah.
It was weird. A weird thing to turn into a series, I thought, at the time. Yeah.
And it looks like the only, two people from the movie involved in this, Joan Rivers and Daphne Zuniga.
Oh, wow. Right. Joan Rivers was willing and ready, whatever you needed.
She was a hardworking woman.
2008, this thing came out.
What? Really? You sure it wasn't just re-released then?
That might be when the DVDs were released.
Yeah, I remember seeing this in the early 90s or something.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, Tom makes a good corrective point in the chat room. The Popcorn Hour and Popcorn Time are not affiliated. They are different projects. So.
And we should have had Tom in that discussion. That was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no kidding.
if only he was coming on later.
No, right? I better speed up.
You're fine.
there are two other films from Mel Brooks that are streaming. The next one, not necessarily one of my favorites, but still really fun. Robin Hood Men in Tights, 1993. Yeah. Starring Carrie Hughes, Richard Lewis. Netflix and Amazon Prime have it streaming. Just a spoof on Robin Hood. Again, just ridiculous. If you don't like stupid humor, you're probably hating my recommendals this week. Sorry.
Who doesn't like Mel Brooks movies, though?
There's a lot.
Exactly. Though. It's like, it's the easier jokes. It's fun. It's, there's nothing wrong at all with Mel Brooks.
Some of them are dumber than others, but that's fine. Men in Tights has Patrick Stewart coming out being King Arthur at the end. How much more can you ask for than that?
That's right. And by the way, Spaceballs, the animated series, did come out in 2008.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy that it was that recent?
Wow. What?
Yeah.
Weird. That really? Yeah, but, it was made in 2008.
Made in 2008. Premiered on G4.
I don't even know who I am anymore.
What world is this?
What world is
this? You can watch it streaming on Amazon Prime. It's free there too. So both Spaceballs the movie and the animated series.
Oh, really? Have you watched any of the animated series by
the way? No, I just found out about it about 10 minutes ago. Oh, really?
I'll bet you can find it on Popcorn Time. I bet it's there. Do they have TV stuff or is it all movies?
It's not, actually.
It looks like it's all movies.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, something else will come out called...
There are some things you can't even get via torrent, my friends. Yeah.
Come out called Cheeseburger Flavored Popcorn Time, and that'll have TV and everything else. That'll be
great. Nom. Yeah. And then finally, the movie that kind of kicked it off for me as a Mel Brooks fan, the 1974 film Blazing Saddles.
Yeah.
You can pick this up on Hitless. That's pretty much it.
When I remember when I was a kid, that movie was two things for me. It was a bunch of cowboys on a log farting after eating beans. And it was the scene where what's his name is going to pull a piece of paper out of his pants and says, hold on while I whip this out. And everyone freaked out because they thought he was pulling his wiener out. Those are my two strongest memories when I was a kid, because once again, this movie was on the forbidden list. My parents would not let me watch that movie.
Really? See, my dad, he loved it. So we watched it a lot together.
Yeah. Well, it's great. I mean, it's one of the best movies Mel Brooks ever made. It's fantastic.
And the badges, the stinking badges.
And that new Seth MacFarlane movie, A Thousand Ways to Die in the West or whatever, looks like a Blazing Saddles, not ripoff, but like an homage to me.
Interesting.
Yeah, which if he's not saying that publicly, I'm sure that this is true because it just felt like Blazing Saddles when I watched that trailer. But yeah, it's great. There's nothing wrong with Blazing Saddles at all. It holds up too. It's good. Yeah.
And I have an honorable mention. It's not streaming anywhere, but if you have a chance to watch it, History of the World Part 1 is some of the funniest skits, especially the last one where the quote is, it's good to be the king.
Yeah.
And it's the real life people as chess pieces, and it's just hilarious. It's so funny. It's so wrong and hilarious.
Yeah.
And I, for the longest time as a kid, I'm like, when's part two going to come out?
I remember that too. I remember thinking, I've been ripped off.
Totally.
I remember my biggest memory of that was, you guys will love this. So we had this kind of ultra conservative neighbor guy who was also our scoutmaster. And we went on a camp. And I did the line. We were out getting ready or something. And he had this giant van he drove us up in. And we're getting our tents up or whatever. And I go, I know what it was. I walked in with three big pieces of firewood I was holding for the fire. And I walked in, I said, I give thee the 15, and then dropped one of the pieces of wood and said, the 10 commandments. And that guy locked me in his van for 30 minutes to think about what I had said.
Oh no, really?
Yeah, I never quite got over that. Now, I have a friend, an old buddy of mine, who's his son, who I know has been listening to the show lately. So, Mark, if you're listening, it was your dad, dude. Oh, wow. Your dad's put me in that freaking gray blue van. Yeah, and made me think about what I would, what I had said. He had no idea it was a movie or any of that.
Right. Silly.
But, man, I was, I was putting Moses in a bad place in his mind, and that was it for me. So, anyway. Well, that's good. These are great recommendations. By the way, here's a line from Blazing Saddles that everyone loves.
Hey, where are the white women at?
There you go. too good.
Love it.
Nicole, always. Oh, you know what? We got a collage of Nicole things that have been said lately. So I want to play these in a row.
Oh no!
You ready for these? They're all short. So here you go. We'll start with this one.
A Redbox instance. It looks like the trailer for BioShit grab on to something so you can suck it with your sucker. Conquistador. What? Peacock. Peacock.
There you go.
Oh, I love it.
BioShit is my favorite.
BioShit Infinite was really a game changer.
I know, right? Changed everything in her laugh. I love that. All right. Anyway.
What?
Okay. Nicole, always fun. Nicole Spag on Twitter, nerdparents.com, ladiesofelite.com, and so many other things. Anything else I'm missing?
I'm going to be hanging out with Tom later on today on Daily Tech News.
Oh, you'll be a fine guest on that fine program.
I can't wait. I'm excited.
Oh. My favorite tech news show.
I'm pretty sure it's today. I better check my calendar.
And my favorite's Spag. Don't tell Mark.
Okay.
Nicole, have a great day. We'll talk to you later.
Bye.
Bye now.
See ya.
Where's her hang up? There she is. Okay. Oh, I called her again. I didn't mean to do that. Okay. Oops. I got this worked out. Everything's fine, everybody. Should we call Tom?
Yes. By all means.
He's impatiently waiting right there in the,
I don't know about patiently. He's been in the, he's been virtually tapping his feet and drumming his fingers in the chat room.
Damn him. Damn him and his impatient ways. I have a thing for him here. Where is it?
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is the one, the only, the Tom Merritt. Hi, Tom.
Did you just damn me?
I did. I totally damned you. Now that I think about it, I kind of regret it.
Go get in the van, Tom. Think about what you've done.
I'm going to go think about what I did in the van.
Tom Merritt, always good to have you. Thank you for the corrective nature of the popcorn hour stuff you were mentioning.
Oh, yeah. No, I actually had a popcorn hour. That's the only reason I knew about it.
Mm.
Because I bought one, I don't know, 6 years ago when they first came out, the Media Tank.
Right.
It reminds me a lot of XBMC. In fact, it might have been forked from the same code base underneath. Because it was one of those things where you had to put in a little elbow grease and setup time and learning, but then you could do pretty much anything with it.
Yeah, and you could rip, like the idea my friend had was he would rip all of his DVDs and things that he owned, and then he would put them on this box, or he'd stream them to the box or something. I can't remember what he was doing.
You could either stream over a network, or you could plug in a hard drive USB.
Yeah, and the big fight there was like, well, do I do this with my PS3 at the time? Which had great media streaming services built in and all that Unix stuff you could do and Linux stuff, or this. And he ended up going with this, and he was always raving about it. I just assumed the names were similar. They were like, this was like a software arm of that or something.
Same thing had occurred to me. But then when I saw they were in Argentina, I was like, I don't think the Popcorn Hour guys were in Argentina. And then when we were talking in the chat room, I decided, well, there's one way to find out. Go look.
Mm, yeah. You mean actually?
I got this internet right here. Might as well use it.
Actually do some footwork. That's amazing.
Yeah.
You're breaking trends. So Tom, it's always fun to have you on. We talked a little about tech and you're preparing stories for the day. What is chief among them, I guess.
I should have asked Nicole what she wants to talk about on Daily Tech News Show, because I'm guessing one of the big stories
Morpheus.
Would be, well, okay, Brian, take the blue pill and we talk about Android Wear. Uh-huh. Take the red pill and we talk about Project Morpheus, which Sony was quick to say is not named after the Matrix.
Oh, did they actually? Yeah, we wondered about
that. They actually clarified. It's named after the God of Dreams, okay? No trademark suits. Funny.
I was talking to Will Smith on Twitter yesterday about this, and because they're doing a lot of stuff at GDC this week where this is being shown, and I guess today they're getting some hands-on with that thing.
Yeah, they're doing some demos of Valkyrie.
Will Smith, the tech dude, not Will Smith, the actor. And
the Fresh Prince of Tech.
Prince of Tech.
I can't stop myself from making that. And the poor guy's suffered through that joke.
Well, it's all he gets. It's the reason he can't get verified. There's like a thousand things. Yeah. He was birthed with this name that he just has to live with now.
But yeah, they're showing off Eve Valkyrie.
Yeah, yeah. And so when he goes and tries this thing, I mean, the feedback from the actual hands-on will be really interesting, but he seemed to think things were looking a little grim for it. What do we know about it so far? And, you know, is it not exciting? Where are we
with
this?
Not much. I mean, they're doing those play tests, so it'll be interesting to see what everybody says after they've come back from trying it out. It is, you know, 100 times per second tracking, 1080p screen, so it's fairly close to what the new Oculus, what is it, the DK2 that they announced?
Yeah, yeah. There's a funny code name and I forgot.
There's, yeah, there's a new developer's kit that's going to be available for, I think, $300, $350 mm-hmm. that you can start ordering, and it's coming this summer.
Yeah,
if you want to work on the latest rig.
Sure.
So, but it looks like, it sounds on paper like it's keeping track with them. They didn't give any price. They didn't give any availability. They talked a lot about presence, wanting to figure out how to make it feel like you're actually in the game, and talked about stuff that everybody who talks about these VR headsets knows about, which is, you know, and you reach out in a game and you hit a wall with your hand. Well, you're not going to hit a wall most of the time.
There's no real wall. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you've got the headset on. So how do you work around those things and kind of really more than just immerse people, make them feel like they're really in the game? And that's all about game design. And they said that's why we're at Game Developers Conference announcing this, is because we want the developers to kind of help us with this problem. Well, one of the side effects of them talking about that, and there's nothing wrong with talking about that, is they kind of skimped on the specs. They kind of skimped on the hardware, and it doesn't sound like it's anything above and beyond what the Oculus is doing. And so, yeah, to me, that itself isn't the bad thing. The bad thing is, well, guess what? The Oculus is going to be available for everything, mm-hmm. and Sony's is going to be available for Sony. Yes,
well, that should be, that's sort of, because consoles are not going to use that thing. This thing's going to work on Linux boxes. It's going to work on Steam, streaming Steam boxes, as well as PCs. But there are no console plans for that device. And
sure.
So,
no, you're right. They would have to have Microsoft and Sony on board, and Sony certainly isn't
sure.
going
to. They'd have to license it and all that. But the way
and
I look
Nintendo,
at.
Sorry, Wii fans.
The reason this is a strong play for Sony, even if they. Let's say it's cheaper or less sophisticated or whatever. I believe that's all in service of price, because for them to sell a retail thing to a mainstream audience, that thing needs to be $149 to $199 maximum. If it's more than that, then they've got a problem, I think. Oculus has the kind of audience and the kind of base that they could sell that thing for $399 and probably get away with it. There's a different expectation on the PC end for this kind of specialty device. But if Sony can do it for a price that's low and sell a ton of them, the mainstream acceptance of a VR technology on a well-selling console or set of consoles is a much bigger play in the long run. Like that's a bigger splash, at least in their mind. And it's also beating Microsoft to the punch in a way by announcing this now.
I don't disagree with anything you're saying there. I think it makes perfect sense. My only caveat, thinking about it myself, is by the time these things actually do hit, right? So if Sony's announcing it now without any price availability and just kind of saying, hey, developers, we're going to need you on board. Mm-hmm. We'll let you know when you can do that. Right. We're at least 2-3 years away from this becoming a mainstream product.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
2 or 3 years, there's going to be a whole different landscape mm-hmm. in video game. I mean,
completely agree. Completely agree.
Certainly the PS4 and the Xbox One will still be around, but it may be that, oh, well, this will work with your Android or your Amazon game stick.
Right. Right.
You know, somehow through an attachment to the controller, probably won't. But you just don't know what that landscape's going to look at. So I would say by the time these come out, those conditions might or might not change.
And Oculus lives in a space that is much more fluid and reactionary. They can make quick turns and stuff that you just can't do in consoles.
Well, and Sony picked on them. They're like, we don't need a driver with ours. You just plug it in and it works. And I'm like, well, actually, you do need a driver. But the difference is you control the driver.
Sure, sure.
It's already built into the PS4.
Sure. And there are some advantages to that in terms of development and ease of use, knowing that your install base is identical across the board and all these kinds of things.
But being flexible on the driver means that the Oculus can work on a lot of different things. It means that Microsoft could say, hey, Oculus, we screw it. We'll interoperate with you.
Yeah. It's the typical pro and con list of closed systems versus open ones. the KHAN ones. I don't know. It's exciting just from a perspective of VR is finally not a mainstream thing, but if you start seeing it happen in these big companies, we're putting out stuff at Walmart, that's usually a sign that everybody's kind of onto something. We're maybe finally at the cusp of something real with VR, where that languished for 20 years in various stages of excitement
crap. Tactile nightmare limbo.
Yes. And they were garbage. I mean, Sony had a VR thing back in the PS2 days, was it? That's terrible, I think.
God, what was that thing called?
What was it called? It was awful, though.
Yeah.
But again, they were all
awful. It was like Nintendo Virtual Boy.
Kind of, yeah. Things are bad. And they've been bad because we weren't there yet. Well, now we've got, the way we've gotten with things like issues like latency and understanding what it means to... understanding more even just about how the brain and the human eyes work, that goes such a long way into making this a possibility, having costs go down. It's all, to me, this is all positive news because it means, like Tom said, in the far-flung five-year future where we really can't see what's going to be going on quite yet, there's going to be some really wicked crap coming out of this. And I'm stoked to be playing it in my late 40s.
I'm stoked that the arthritis won't have set in.
That's
so far,
right. I won't quite have to be, my colostomy bag will still be a year or two away.
It'll be a virtual colostomy bag.
Oh man, that'd be great. Actually, could you bring that quicker than later?
If I take a positive out of this, it's the fact that Sony didn't present something where everyone rolled their eyes and said, well, that they obviously don't get it. I mean, they presented something. They're like, yep, Oculus is saying the same thing. You want to talk about, making sure it's not heavy on your face. They talked a little bit about having some open air design so that the light's blocked, but it doesn't overheat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get all hot and sweaty in there. Sure. So they're saying all the right things. And I think that's the amazing thing. The good thing here is that we have competition. We have people trying to get this right and outdo each other and making progress. And I'll 100%. Thank Oculus for driving that forward. They're ones that really stoked people's imagination and got them thinking about this.
Yeah, and there's a piece of me that wants to root for them all the way through the process because you always do. We've talked about it on this very show in this very segment about how someone will innovate someplace and then somebody else will beat them to market or better them to market, not because they're actually better, but because they've got the marketing and the money muscle to do it. And as much as I'm really impressed with Sony lately, I'm not necessarily in the mood for them to usurp this young upstart, and I'd like to see them go far. So,
well, I guess that when you think about it, I'm trying to think about parallels, and everyone wants to credit the iPhone with launching the smartphone market, but it did not. The Trio and the BlackBerry launched the smartphone market.
Yeah.
The difference was the Trio and the BlackBerry always had issues. They always had things that didn't quite work perfectly, and people who had them complained. And then the iPhone came out, and obviously people still complain because people complain, but it was like, oh, they solved a lot of the big issues.
Mm-hmm.
I don't look at the Oculus and say, well, they're certainly, first to market, but this doesn't work and that doesn't work. Not that there aren't complaints, but I feel like these guys have a really good handle on how this is supposed to work. And they're solving a lot of those problems that Virtual Boys and Sony's and other things over the years couldn't.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting. Finally, Lawnmower Man, come to the mainstream surface.
The winner of the VR race is going to be the one that makes a device that makes you not look like a fool when you've got it on your face.
Yep. And it's something we've learned. Not even Google Glass with its minimalist approach can do that.
Right.
So
that's right.
It needs to still, like gaming, I feel like you can get away with gaming headsets because you're in a place where, hey, this is where I game. And hey, buddy, come over to my house. We're going to play. And you're playing in a room with this thing on for this specific thing. It's when you're rolling around town with like a Bluetooth connection to your VR helmet and your phone that things start to look bad.
Well, when everyone has VR helmets, then it won't matter because we'll just see the virtual world.
Right.
Everywhere. Oh,
like when we all got
see the pretty woman in a red dress walking by.
Right. Yes. Right. When we all got leopard thongs, that's when no one cared anymore. Oh, wait, am I the only one? Overstepped. Nope. I've said too much.
Brian and I both got them.
Okay, good. Well, good deal. This is all going to be, I'm sure that this will be talked about in more detail later today on the Daily Tech News Show with Tom Merritt and his guest, Nicole Spag, which is a great matchup. That'll be fun.
Third time's a charm on Nicole, man. She was sick on both ends the last time. I meant both times I tried to book her.
Right, right. Those ends.
Sure, I have no idea about what kind of sick she was.
Yeah, what kind of illness specifically.
Each time I tried to book her, she was at the beginning and then at the end of an illness. Yeah. So I'm glad she's healthy and her voice is back. And I'm looking forward to
that. Yeah, it'll be great. So check that out a little bit later today. Of course, Ace Detect on Twitter.
And anything else going on? I can't wait for the soundboard to have that one.
Oh, that'll be a good one. Someone will track it down. What else is anything else going on? I know you got a billion projects, but anything else we should mention?
Yes. TomMerrittBooks.com. Mm. How about that one?
Oh, what's going on there?
Well, Scott Johnson, if you like illustrated tech history,
I do.
I've got this great illustrator named Scott Johnson.
Oh my, how can, what? That's so convenient. Right? My name is so common. I hate it. Just Google search. There's too many of us.
Jeez. Hey, you know what? I just had an idea actually. Okay, but let me finish that. Amazon Kindle singles. You know, we're in the works on the April one. Yep. March one's out. We've done November, December. Yeah, so they're 99 cents a piece. You can pick them all up. There's also all the rest of my books there at TomMerrittBooks.com.
Nice.
As well. I just had an idea. Like, I'm like, well, I don't want to leave Ibid out. You can in ebooks include music.
What?
Oh, really?
Brian, get on the stick.
Soundtrack technology.
Look at that. Yes, I'm seeing it now.
Wow. All right. Well,
how can we work covers into this? We'll
figure it out.
Halfway through the book, it'll say, all right, let's take a break. And
here, Woody Guthrie.
Space Oddity? Yeah. I don't know.
That's right.
Brilliant. Yeah, that's at TomMerrittBooks.com. And man, Sword and Laser, everything else, it's all wonderful and good. And keep doing Sword and Laser while Veronica's stoned on painkillers. I think that's a...
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a good programming note for Frog Pants, folks. So we didn't have Sword and Laser yesterday. If you're like, where is it in my feed? Because Veronica had surgery to get a bionic... I mean, on her broken wrist.
Right, right. You know what we call them here? We call them this. Hold on.
Robot arms.
Yes, she had a robot arms installed. Right. I love that made it onto the Nerdtacular poster.
I do.
So we're planning. I haven't heard from her this morning, but I think that's a good thing. We're planning on recording that episode plus the interview episode this evening.
Well, lovely. Well, one hand, Veronica, until that thing heals. We hope she's doing okay and everyone's fine. Tom Merritt, everybody, thanks so much, dude. We'll talk to you soon.
Man.
Bye now.
Bye.
See ya.
There we go.
You know, I really wanted to hear about the wearable Android watch thingy.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Darn.
It's too bad. Actually, it looks all right.
It kind of did, yeah.
It kind of looks all right. Everybody's fighting to figure out how to do this watch thing. Uh-huh. I don't know what Apple's plans are, but...
And sadly, that's the one that I'm most curious about because I have so many Apple products, it seems like it would be the natural...
Yeah, I want ecosystem.
I want something that would communicate with the crap I have.
Yeah, I want my phone and my iPad to work well with it, but...
Not the crap that might be better than the crap I have.
if anything, I kind of want to see how these devices do as standalone things, like how well would they behave without those things, or is the connectivity to other devices crucial to their value? And I don't know yet because nobody's saying. So it'll be interesting. This is a weird year. I feel like Apple's got big crap to talk about. I feel like Google has the right idea about what the watch should be and do. Mm-hmm. So now it's just an issue of, you know, show me the money. Show me who's better. How much you want me to pay. All right. Let's get to our legal popcorn email section, which is brought to you by...
Get your subscription to Retro Gaming Magazine now at tiny.cc/retrosub, featuring comics from Scott Johnson.
I'm in. I'm good. New one going up today. Well, for issue 3, I'm doing this week, I think. Anyway.
Cool.
It's good stuff.
I've got my subscription. I can't wait to get my
first
issue.
You're going to love it, dude.
I can't wait. It's all, you know, it's the kind of, listen, basically with me, old video games are the only ones I was able to play regularly, as is proven by my Blizzard track record right now.
Yeah, and it's true of me too. The ones I truly end up beating or playing the most oftentimes are these kind of retro experiences, and it's still true. Email one from William says, I came to a realization a while back. The term love the sinner, hate the sin, which we've been hearing a lot lately about the whole gay argument, in the end, it's just an excuse that people will use to justify their hatred of people's lifestyles that they don't agree with. I kind of agree with this guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure somebody out there means it sincerely. Somebody. But most of the time, I think it's just a crutch.
Can you love someone unconditionally and not support the thing that's most important to them? Maybe not most important, but is important to them.
Right. It's a crutch. It's just a crutch. It's like, it doesn't work.
I love my wife, but boy, I hate women.
Yeah, women are the worst. Oh, you know what? I'm trying to think of a better way to say this, and I can't think of another good example. It's a lousy thing to say. It really is, because here's the problem with it. You are saying it's a sin, and when you say it's a sin, you are saying it's a grievous, horrible thing in your system of beliefs. That's what you mean when you say that. So when you say hate the sin, love the sinner, is like you saying, I hate everything you're doing, but I still think you're okay. And that comes off as disingenuous and untrue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, plus in this case, and E. Kardashinsky points it out very well, is that you're labeling it as a sin right from the get-go.
Yeah, without even any discussion. You're just straight up. It's just an assumptive thing. This is my problem with all this sort
Love
of thing.
Love the playa, hate the game.
It's the same problem I have with people who hate... It's on the other side, too. I don't like it when an atheist has some presumptive thing about anybody who might be religious. It's the same problem. Mm-hmm. Don't be a dick is the answer to all this. Just walk away and knock it off. Other people feel differently than you. That's okay. Let them do that. Don't pretend and use verbal crutches like, love the sin or hate the sin, like I do when I go, that. I always say, I do this too much. I'll say, that'll be interesting. Or it'll be interesting to see. I use that way too much. And guess what that is? A verbal crutch. And I lean on it too often. How about I'll try to stop doing that if you people out there quit doing this one.
What does that'll be interesting to see mean?
You know, like if I'm saying, like you'll say, oh, the Google Watches
are...
It's
going to fail.
Right. Exactly. It's me saying, well, we'll have to see.
Yeah. I don't believe in that, but okay.
Except in my case, it doesn't really hurt anybody.
Sure.
In their case... You're literally causing people pain, mental anguish. Now knock it freaking off. All right. Anyway, says, so I agree with this writer. Mm-hmm. In using this excuse, the writer of the email on TMS568 claims he can love someone but hate who they are. That is positively absurd. When someone uses the lame excuse to show their love for someone, yet at the same time use it to justify oppression, they negate their own argument. Oh, man, this guy's great. Mm-hmm.
Well put.
I wish people would just stop using this term. It only makes them look like uneducated fools, and it makes everyone else feel uncomfortable. Drops the mic, walks away. William is what he wrote.
Yes.
Well put, William. I tend to agree. I mean, I'm a big believer, and there's lots of gray area in every argument, but that is essentially my stance on all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Nick wrote in. Not my son.
Oh, okay. There's other Nicks.
There's
out there?
A couple other Nicks. Nick Offerman. Okay. Nick Cage.
Nick McKinnon. The 20 questions, Nick.
Yeah. I'm glad you threw those in with the TV and film stars I just mentioned. Let's see. Dear Scudagard and Branchipod.
Scudagard and Branchipod. Yeah, I guess.
That's an odd one. I have just finished listening to episode 566 where you discussed an article criticizing the movie Frozen for supposed indoctrination of young lesbians, and I thought I'd chime in with my two cents. I agree with you that this is crazy because the song Let It Go is clearly about holding in a fart and finding the courage to go outside and let it rip.
Yes.
Anyway, you also mentioned the article included claims of bestiality in the movie, and I quickly dismissed it, or we quickly dismissed it. Now my whole family loves this movie. The soundtrack is a regular staple in our household music selection. In fact, I rarely hear anything else while I'm in the car. But there are a couple of lines in the song Fixer Upper that does beg to ask some questions regarding the relationship between Kristoff and Sven when the trolls describe, quote, his thing with his reindeer, and unquote, and quote, a little outside of nature's laws, unquote. But it's probably just Disney stretching a rhyme. 12 O-O's, though. What does that mean?
12. It's like, love the show, though. 12 O's, though.
Oh, 12 O's, though. Well, I knew the reference to love the show, though. But okay. I don't remember what
it was. It just ran.
Nick. All right. Well, Nick, it's a very interesting point, I suppose. I don't think any of it has ever veiled bestiality references in that movie. People are crazy. Have you seen that movie yet?
I still have not seen it.
You really should.
It's on Redbox. It's available now at Redbox. I will be picking it up this weekend, probably.
You know what Nicole would say? She'd call Redbox. She'd say...
A Redbox instance?
Redbox instance. I don't know what she meant by that.
Yeah, is that where only five of you can use the Redbox at once?
But you have to phase in.
Yes, exactly. Yes, it's all phased content.
Redbox instance.
Redbox. Really weird.
Redbox.
It looks like the trailer for BioShit.
I love that she, some people have criticized saying, you should make fun of that. Everyone goofs up on there on the radio. I'm like, that's not what I'm doing. Nicole's just like my goofball sister. It. Yeah, we're celebrating it.
Yes.
All right. That's
hers
it.
Are just so much better than ours. Like her screw ups. I mean, all right. I had, what was it, motorcycle? It was something I said, something I screwed up. Boner cycle.
Boner cycle. That was it.
Boner cycle.
Yeah.
And but that's nowhere near as good as like, you know, Dermot McRoney,
sure, or
Don Cheadle,
Conquestador. That's a pretty good one.
that sounds like it should be an iOS game.
Shouldn't
Conquestador.
It though?
Earthquake. Yep, we're having an earthquake.
There's that guy again. We're having an earthquake.
Earthquake. Yep, we're having an earthquake.
That guy's the best. The best part of that video. I don't think he even cared she was there.
Yeah,
it was just like exactly. Earthquake, and she's like, "Yep, we're totally, this is," and then she was down.
That
was
get it. Under the desk.
That's a funny clip. All right, that's it for that. I wish John Stewart wasn't off for 2 weeks, because you know that would be on there tomorrow or today.
Oh God, yeah, it'll be on the soup tonight.
The soup. That's a show I never see. I kind of wish I did.
You should see it. It's
I don't have TV, so that's one I miss.
I'm sure you can find it online somewhere.
Could I? Maybe the popcorn TV hour.
Popcorn time.
Yeah, popcorn.
Yeah,
time.
Right.
All sure. Right, email us if you'd like and be a part of the email section of the show at themorningstream@gmail.com. And while you're at it, why don't you check us out on the web, frogpants.com/TMS, on Twitter is what you'd say. We're at Morning Stream, Scott Johnson in Coverville. Let's take it out with a song or something, some kind of tune. You get music or something?
Something.
Okay, fine.
How about something going out to Kitty McGee, Dear Scryin' and Butt. That's funny. That one comes up a lot. March 15th, we'll celebrate my 38th year on the planet. I would love to make a birthday song request. I'm a big Adele fan, so any covers by her or of her is Kitty McGee saying something bad about Adele? Like I'm a big Adele fan.
Big Adele.
Adele does.
Is that what she means?
Adele. I'm a fan of Big Adele. So any covers by her or of her songs would be awesome.
We love Big Adele around here. She's great.
You guys are great and make my days better. Thanks for doing what you do, Kitty McGee in the Tadpool.
All right.
Lots and lots of covers of Rolling in the Deep. Tons, probably just under the number of covers of Ring of Fire are the number of covers I have of Rolling in the Deep. So we're not going to play one.
No, okay.
We're going to play a cover that Adele herself recorded for her album 21, which came out in 2011. It's a cover of The Cure, and it is Love Song.
Ooh, that sounds good. All right, well, here's
Adele's buzzing
with her cover of that. Before we go, a reminder, patreon.com/TMS.
Yes.
Where you can support our Patreon. Throw us a buck, a couple bucks, $10, whatever you want.
Getting close to the second giveaway deal for the second signed print.
Yep, we just crested a new number. Also, every day, just a reminder, every day I do sketches during the show. I'll do another one here during the final song, which we then send out for free to lucky winners who are just folks who have supported us. So there's all kinds of like random ways to get benefits. There are direct, regular ways that you can get benefits. You just have to read about them on there and see what you like. Lots of ways to support the show, and it really does help keep things going more now than ever for various reasons, folks. We could get into it all, but let's just say that we are extremely appreciative of your support of the show and hope it continues. So thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. Mm-hmm. All right, Brian, good show. Thanks for being here, man.
Thank you, Scott Johnson.
No problem. I'm happy to be here also. Let's get the hell out of here.
What?
I don't know what I'm saying anymore. It's Adele Dazeem.
Adele Dazeem.
Their cover of Love Song, and I'll play it now. We'll see you tomorrow. Wendy will be here. Therapy Thursday and more. See you then.
You make me feel like I am whole again.
Sang this as low as I could just for fun.